Then, as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice. In the three other, it says they're shouting, Hosanna. And then with a loud voice, of all the mighty works they had seen, Lazarus had just been raised from the dead a little while earlier. This is big stuff. And they're all hollering, Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called him and said, Dude, rebuke your followers. What they saying? That is hate speech. Whatever it is they're saying nowadays. But he answered and said to them, I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask you in the name of Jesus to be with us. I just ask you to, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you, you are alive and well. I ask you to touch us, direct us, speak to us today, break something off of us, heal, deliver, save. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, we don't understand the significance of this day because we don't put it all together. And I'm going to try to help you put it all. I mean, we jump right to the resurrection, and rightly so. I mean, that's a pretty big deal too. You know, I'm not saying it's not, but you got to understand what's happening here. This is a big deal. All right. Please hear me. This is a big deal. They had been hearing for years, all their life, for hundreds of thousands of years, it had been prophesied this moment. In fact, even down to the detail, he will ride on a young donkey. This had been prophesied. This was God's plan. This was a big deal. This was the start of God's plan. This was the start, was the beginning of us getting back to the garden where we could have fellowship with God. Intimate, personal fellowship. There was about to be, the plan of God was about to be culminated. This is called Holy Week, and it was about to come, and His entry was the start of it. It was an important day. Now, God doesn't mind showing up, showing out on important days. I mean, you know, He's done some things in the past. Like, at Jesus' birth, all of heaven turned out. Right? That wasn't a normal day, you know, for the shepherds. It was a big deal in God's plan. You had a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, and whom, well, that didn't happen every day either. This is kind of loud. Can we bring this down a little bit? Feels loud. I'm fired up, so it's probably going to get louder. I hate those hollering preachers, but it happens. I don't holler. I speak with emphasis. So here, I want you to think about this. The Bible says that God had this plan that Jesus Christ was going to be crucified and all, had this plan before the foundation of the earth. And now it's about to happen. All the prophets, everything, this was such a big deal. Did God not create the heaven and earth? God created the heavens and the earth. Are you hearing me? God created the heavens and the earth, and He set in motion some laws of nature. Aren't you glad he put in the law of gravity? I mean, that would be, it would be cumbersome at best. He put in a law of physics. Rocks don't speak. Animals, I mean, plants don't move. But this was such a big deal that God said, I'm going to violate my own laws. If they don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. There are moments in time, listen to me very carefully. I am not a prophet, but every once in a while the Lord speaks to me about our country, about what's happening. And I'm telling you, this is one of those moments. We are living in one of those moments that the church needs to praise. The church needs to cry out. We have lost our voice because we're trying to be like the world. And this is one of those times that God is fulfilling His purposes and He will be praised. He will be exalted. He says, if you lift me up, I will draw all men to you. Now, obviously, we can't crucify Christ again. So what is he talking about? He's talking about praise. He's talking about blessing the Lord. Now, obviously, praise and worship is more than just us coming together and singing. But that's part of it. Now, they were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. You need to understand what they said. So you understand the big deal. This is coming from Psalms 118. They had heard this all their life in Sunday school. Well, they didn't have Sunday school, in Hanukkah school or whatever Jewish. I'm not sure what they did, but they heard this story. Psalms 118 says, save now. That's the word. Hosanna. It wasn't the way we say it, but save now, I pray, O Lord. I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's a prophecy about Jesus, who has blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord and has given us light and the sacrifice with cords. Notice the language, the symbolism, the sacrifice with cords on the horns of the altar. He's talking about Jesus Christ. So they are repeating, they understand this is happening. I remember as a kid, you know, back in the 70s, if you were in church in the 70s, remember all them apocalyptic movies and Jesus is coming back and any day now, you know, and he's coming back, you know. I remember standing outside and it was a thunderstorm, you know, a summer thunderstorm gets real dark and then it kind of breaks and the light comes through. I remember the moment I went, are you coming back? I started looking for a horse riding through the cloud. You know, is he coming back? Do you understand that they had heard this all of their life and now it's happening right before their eyes? Hosanna! They begin to say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What they said was out of Psalms. It's a Hebrew word. This is the word. It's interpreted into Greek, Hosanna, which literally means save us now. He needed salvation now. They needed to save, to be with us. Salvation is here. They understood, look at me now, if the Messiah is here, that means salvation and all that means is here. I'm going to say that one more time for the other 400 of you that missed it. Because we'll come back to this statement. if the Messiah, they knew the reason they were down, they were taking off their coats and throwing them down and palm trees. I mean, they were embarrassed. They were not dignified like some of you come to church. Yeah, whatever. They were not dignified. Why? Because they knew the Messiah was here. And when the Messiah comes, salvation and all that that means is here. Thank you very much. That's what they were saying. Salvation, save us now. Why they were saying it. They had the story all their life that Messiah is coming. Something was about to happen we ought to be excited about. Something that my granddad taught me. Something that he told me with a tear in his eye one day. When he read the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 61 is a prophecy of the Messiah. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison doors to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. They knew that all that happens, look, to console those who died, to give them beauty for ashes, the joy of, look, the oil of joy for mourning and depression and COVID-itis and everything else. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When the Messiah is there, that's everything he brings. So that's why they were shouting. But they missed it. Why they missed it was because they wanted him to do what they wanted him to do, them to do. They wanted him to do their bidding. They were selfish. They were self-centered. We want the Messiah to do our plan. And they missed the greatest happening up until that moment. The Messiah admitting, I am the Messiah, and he started doing all kinds of things and bringing it to them, and they missed the whole thing because they wanted God to act like they wanted him to act. They were selfish. True praise comes when you see him for who he is, not who you want him to be. See, Judas, a lot of us are more like Judas than we think. I've done a lot of study on Judas, and I know you think, oh, Brother Allen, I'm not the boogeyman. Well, Judas wasn't a boogeyman. He was like a lot of Christians that wanted God to put Trump in. And when he didn't, they got mad. Don't nobody shout me down now. They wanted God to do what they wanted to do. Judas, according to historians and the study, most historians believe he was a good guy. He just was a zealot and he wanted the Romans kicked out. And so what he did was, he didn't betray Jesus. He wanted to force his hand. People think he betrayed him. He did betray him, but he did it because he thought, if I get Jesus arrested, he'll rise up and kill all the Romans. Jesus is not going to be who you want him to be. He's going to be who he is. How many people have served Christ and loved Christ and something happened? They went through hardship. They did this. Something happened to them. God didn't come through and they just forget the whole thing. The reason is they can't praise him anymore. I can't praise him anymore. Why? Because he didn't do what I wanted him to do. Praise comes from recognizing he is Lord and he's done everything I need. Amen? True praise happens. Praise breaks out when the Messiah, and they missed it. These were the same people, either were scattered and denying they knew his name, or they were hollering, crucifying! I wonder how many people have been in this church. Something happened they didn't like. Now they're out there in that world. Crucifying! He's not real! Because they wanted God to be like they wanted him to be. True praise is not that way. You got to praise God for who he is and what he said is he will do. The presence of God, the presence of Messiah. And I'm telling you, this is one of those moments that the church has to rise up and be heard. Not for what we know and not for condemning. We need to rise up with a voice of praise and worship. We need to rise up with a voice of praise that demands blessing to the Lord. It demands worship. His presence demands that. Psalm, turn with me to Psalms 145. Psalms 145 says this, I will extol you. Let me tell you what extol means. Praise real hard. I mean, extol you means I'm gonna break a sweat praising you. I'm gonna praise you loud and hard. My God, O King, I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. Everybody say that. Every day I will bless you. Now I want to show you five things quickly that word means, bless. And you're going to see them all throughout praise that you should live out all your life. If you are a Christian, the presence of the Messiah demands praise. The word bless has five expressions in worship in the Hebrew language. The first one is salute. The first word is you can exchange is salute. When you say salute, you mean you're honoring what somebody has done. You're respecting what they have done. You're giving them honor. You're giving them praise. You're honoring. We stand with our hands over our heart with playing of the national anthem. Why? Because people sacrificed everything for us to have a nation we can do this right here in. And we honor them. We salute them. We bless them. Man, if you've never been to a military funeral, I weep and I don't even know the guy. It's right. Watch this right here. honoring these people is absolutely right. I've watched people, I've watched some of you men at ball games and all that thump the head of your son when they didn't take their hat off or when they were screwing around talking. And yet we go home and we let people around us go, Jesus Christ, when they're mad. Which child would you give up for us? Which one would you sacrifice, Mike? For people that halfway don't even care, I mean, which one would you give up? I mean, tell you, I love you, man. I love you as much as a pastor could has ever loved. But I'm telling you, I'm not sacrificing my sons for you. And we cannot even salute the Lord and honor Him and sing praises to Him after the sacrifice He made. How is that possible? That we could come in for the preaching and miss the praise and worship. Let me tell you something. If I had to come to one to the other, I'd come to praise and worship. Because that's me and the Lord. Jesus deserves the salute we give Him. Why don't we just stand right now? If you're saved, if you ain't saved, you don't care about what I'm saying, just sit there. Why don't you right now just lift your hands as an honor and just salute Him. Thank Him for the sacrifice. Can't you just thank Him for giving His Son to you? Can't you just do that for a moment? That's not weird, man. That's, I will bless You every day of my life. For You are my God. Nobody else. Jesus deserves our sacrifice. He deserves I salute. I honor You. Your name is respected. Have a seat. Second word is congratulate. You could change the word bless. I will bless you all the days of my life. Second word you could change there is congratulate. What do you congratulate people for? You congratulate when they win. Congratulate her. Something good happens to them. They won. Man, congratulations. You won the election. You won this. You did this. Congratulations. Do you understand that the only ones that don't know that the war's over is us? God thinks when He said it's finished, He went to heaven. Jesus ain't coming to do nothing else. He thinks He did it all. In fact, He says He made a public spectacle of Him. He humiliated Him every time. God ain't worried about the outcome of this thing. We ought to congratulate Him every day for totally defeating Satan. And when Satan shows you his face, what do? You go, ha, 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 you lose. Why? Does that mean we won't walk through hard times? No. But we got a congregation of Christians in the entire nation that are anxious and worried about a victory that's already been won. When are we going to realize it? The demons know it. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you? I'm afraid most of us are the who are yous. When you start realizing and blessing the congregation, blessing the Lord, congratulate Him every day, then His victory becomes your victory. I want you to hear this. Where's she at? Oh, there she is.
Years and lies and high depression, thinking of the past became my obsession. The enemy tried to win, but God wouldn't let him because He was creating a spiritual weapon. Like David and Goliath, the enemy tried to take me out, filling my mind with anxiety and all kinds of doubts.
But deep inside of me, there was a warrior shout. And just like Joshua, he wanted me to let it out. Through Christ I have full authority to cast out demons and help the blind to see, to heal the sick and set the captives free because of the Holy Spirit you've placed in me. But just like Peter, I'm sifted like wheat. But Lord, I'm not Peter. I feel so weak. My mind is restless. My future feels bleak. But not in my own strength, but yours I seek.
Come on.
And just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, I await my turn to go through the fire, but you won't let me burn, extending me grace that I didn't earn. Lord, you're teaching me lessons that I need to learn. Lord, why is the enemy attacking me so? He torments my mind, and he won't let it go. He tries to overtake me, but you take every blow.
It's
like he knows something that I don't know. It's like he recognizes the weapons that you've placed inside of me, the spiritual weapons that even I still don't see. And just like the warriors who have gone down before me, he doesn't want me to see my God-given authority because he knows when I finally realize the power that you gave, your Holy Spirit released when you rose from the grave. My mighty comforter that you sent here to save lives inside of me, then he knows I'll be brave and I'll put on my armor just like the Apostle Paul and I'll face my giants, my accusers and all. And just like the Israelites, you'll take down my wall because when I trust in you, Lord, you won't let me fall. And just like Daniel in the lion's den, you'll increase my faith as I choose to press in, shutting the mouths of my enemies. I know you won't let them win.
Amen. Every day I give him congratulations. Congratulations that you totally humiliated the devil. And we're going to, at the end, the Bible says that we're all going to kick our own butts for all the stress and the worry and the fear that we had when we see him. And it's not because the devil doesn't look bad. The devil, if he showed up here in all his glory, we'd be a little shook. But the reason we're going to look at him and go, I am so stupid. I let fear I was worried. I'm an idiot. What? And then we look at other people. You're an idiot. Why did you not know that? We're all going to do that. Why? Because the devil is going to be standing next to Jesus Christ. And there is no comparison. That was our Lord the whole time. And he had won. And we don't congratulate. Worship is not for him. He's not on an ego trip. It reminds us of who he is and who we are. That's why we do it every day. We salute him every day. We congratulate him every day. We thank him every day. That word can be, I bless him, I thank him. Thanksgiving is personal. Thanksgiving is something that is what he's done for me. Something that he's touched me. Jesus deserves our thanksgiving. I'm just going to tell you right now, I got real mad at the first service. Because only women stood up. Look, I don't need you to tell me the whole story. I just need you to stand up and say, I'd like to thank Jesus Christ because of this. I'd like to thank Jesus Christ for my 11 boys. I know I give them a hard time, but man, I would not be the man without them. And I'm telling you, they're better men than I am, than I was at their age. And I thank God for that. Now, how about you? Somebody stand up right where you are. Quickly, for healing your mind. Amen. Thank you for you few men that are standing up. I got mad at first service. Oh, God only does things for women. Oh, God only does things for this side of the room. He doesn't like y'all? I don't know. All right, I'm quick. We're going quick. Nobody else stand up on this side. Right here. Amen.
I thank God for being with me even in the darkest times when I feel alone. He's
Amen. Come on.
Giving me peace in the middle of the storm. He's my anchor.
Amen. You want to add to that? You got it?
Because I was the one that died.
Yes. You thankful God rose you from the dead, isn't he? Yeah. Amen. Great story. Don't have time for it. Right there.
Divine protection.
Divine.
In the middle of hell.
Amen. That sounds like a good story too. Right there. Amen. Right there. Sending your foster children. Amen. Back there. Lucy, Shine.
I thank the Lord for delivering us from an unstable environment into a brand new home.
Amen. Right here.
Trusting me more than I trust myself.
Amen. Saving your soul and restoring your marriage. Come on. Amen. 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 Come on. Wait. All right, now. Nobody else stand up. Amen. Come on. Come on. Saving your granddaughter's life. All right. Come on. God forgives, doesn't he? Amen. Back there in the back. Wait. Her. I'm sorry. I'll get to you. Amen. Amen. Come on. Hey. Some of you are so self-focused. If you ain't doing good, there's nothing to be thankful for. Well, I'm having a hard day. God's forgot my name. God ain't real no more. And you're so selfish, you miss the very presence of God in your life. But when I'm thankful, man, you cannot complain and be thankful at the same time. Can't do it. Can't do it. So I salute, I congratulate, I thank. The next one who blesses, I praise. We have got to let praise come out of our mouth. We have got to declare. I've got to remind myself, because the devil's a good liar. He convinces me he's going to win. He convinces me he's in charge. He'll make me watch stuff on the news that makes depression try to get on me. And all of a sudden, I got to declare, whoa, my God is God and you ain't. We have got to learn every day to praise God and lift up a sound in the midst of the storm. We ought to praise Him louder. You will have trials. Does Jesus Christ not say, in this world you're going to have tribulation? But remember, I've overcome the world. We've got to praise Him. And, you know, I had something else planned, but I just decided this morning, because I like it, I like to play it, I like to go through it, it gets on me. If it don't get on you, your wood's wet. Yeah, it don't get you fired up. You know, I want to declare who God is. So back by popular demand, I want to play you this video.
I wonder if you know Him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my King? The Bible says He's a King of the Jews. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings, and He is a Lord of lords. Now that's my King. Well, no barriers can hinder Him from pouring out His blessing. No means of measure can define His limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of His shoreless supply. Well, He's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And He's impartially merciful. That's my King. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He beautifies the meek. Do you know Him? Do you know my King? Well, my King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Do you know Him? Well, He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm coming to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain Him, let alone a man explaining Him. You can't get Him out of your mind. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him, and the grave couldn't hold Him. That's my King. He always has been, and He always will be. I'm talking about He had no predecessor, and He'll have no successor. There was nobody before Him, and there'll be nobody after Him. You can't impeach Him, and He's not going to resign. That's my King. Yeah! Do you know Him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. That's my King. Yeah!
Man! Just want to charge hell with a water pistol, don't you? Sometimes we need to remind all the players who the players are. Sometimes out of my mouth, I got to declare, well, look, whoa, Satan. You're not the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. See, some of you think you're the Lord. You're the master of my destiny. No, you're a pawn in a spiritual battle, and you get to choose who you obey. Last one is I got to salute Him, congratulate Him, thank Him. And look, I know it's 12 o'clock. I didn't mean to go this long, but I don't really care. Lunch ain't as important as Jesus. I'm going to get you out of here in about 10 minutes, you know, maybe. You got to thank Him, praise Him. And the last word that translates out of that blessed is you got to kneel down. Now, when you kneel before someone, that means it's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of, I give any sacrifice you demand. You're Lord. It's a sign of, you're Lord and I'm not. When I kneel down, it's when I say, God, whatever I have in my heart is yours. See, some of you got bitterness and hatred in your heart and you won't give it to the Lord. Whatever you have in your heart is His. When you kneel down, you say, I bless the Lord. God, whatever you desire is yours. Whatever you want me to go, it's your. God, you want my hatred for the people that hurt me in the past. I kneel before you. I give it to you. I want you to watch this testimony.
Hello, I'm Eric Lee, and I'm here to tell you my testimony for what God's done in my life. I'm going to give you a short backdrop of a few years ago. We had a divorce happen in the family, and a lot of tensions were built up pretty high. Pretty much told my wife and I that we needed to stay out of it, which was fine, and then our names eventually got brought in. Well, at that point in time, I was nowhere near Christ. At that point in time, when I found hatred, it locked in on me. As bad as I hate to say it, I used to have a motto that God forgives, I don't. But the hatred got so bad with this group of people that when my wife, she was actually scared to mention those names around me for what would come out of my mouth then. And then a couple of times, I honestly think I heard the devil say, oh, I didn't mean for it to go that far. Jump forward, last year, Christ come into my life. My whole family's been saved. I've been saved. It's been a wonderful journey. In my job, I have to go to people's house and work on stuff. And in the past, I've actually had these people's name come across my work list, and I've always caught it. I called my boss, told them, hey, this needs to be taken off of me or I'm going to jail. One of the two, it's your choice. A little over a week and a half ago, I was talking with the guys one morning before we was getting ready to dispatch. We dispatch on our iPads and stuff, and I wasn't even paying attention, and my finger come down, and when I hit the button to dispatch, I seen the name. Well, by that point, it was too late. So I'm sitting here looking at this name, and I went as white as a ghost. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew I was going to lose my job at this point. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to get out to this job. I'm going to do the bare minimum, kick it back to another department and let them handle it. Well, in God's great sense of humor, all the outside was perfect. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, you've got to go tell these people something. So just make up something and get out of there. And as I'm driving up to their house and I see the lady start walking out, I actually hear the voice in my head that God says, you keep telling everybody that you are saved. You're telling everybody that you are a Christian. You have to prove it. I got out and I don't know what was going to be said, but I went to open my mouth to say it, and it was like God just put his hand over my mouth. And he said, don't worry, I got this. And I'm like, no, I can do it. And he's like, shut up, I got this. And his voice just come out. And there was nothing but compassion and love that come out of his mouth. Just to feel the weight lifted off of me. It reminded me of the Grinch that stole Christmas when he finally found the true meaning of Christmas. His heart just went to swelling. I thought I was having a heart attack at that point in time, but still, my heart was swelling, and it was with love and forgiveness. To have that burden taken off of you to where you actually truly feel love is one of the most amazing things ever. But the thing is, when you take your journey with Christ, get comfortable with it, enjoy it, but don't be surprised when it's time to, when he brings other things up that needs to be taken care of. Because I had completely forgot about that. And it is something that needs to be taken care of. As a matter of fact, the other day I passed by where they lived at. They were standing outside. I blew the horn, waved at them, and I actually felt compassion for them as brothers and sisters. And that's something I have never felt before.
Amen. We all love the verse. He says, I'll give you beauty for ashes. But you got to give him the ashes. You got to give him the ashes. Now, I want to end with this thought, and then we're going to do something, okay? I thought about these people on that day. Are you hearing me? I thought about these people on that day that threw their coats off and palm branches and were screaming and shouting. You know, some of them are in hell now. The very presence of salvation was right there, and they missed it. I know we have biblical precedent that one of the things that's happening in hell, well, first of all, God doesn't send anybody to hell. You send yourself. I mean, what else do you want him to do to buy you out of hell? He gave his only son. What else do you want him to do? Now listen to me carefully. Are you hearing me? One of the things we know from the Bible that demons do is torment and torture you. We know that from the captors in the Old Testament when they brought the Israelites out and they said, sing us a song of Zion. Sing us one of those happy songs. They were mocking them. They were mocking them because they once sang when they were free and now they were captive. They were mocking them. Don't you know in hell right now, those demons are walking by and say, come on, shout out Hosanna. You were right there and you missed it. Come on, sing us a song. The Bible says that where two or more are gathered, Jesus says, I will be there. The Messiah has been here the whole time. And we missed it. Most of us miss it because we're thinking about how much it's going to rain or where we're going to eat or you know, I'm tired today. I hope his sermon is short. Or I didn't like that song. It's all about us. And we miss. How is it happen that some people in our church service can get healed and touched and man, oh God, I felt God. And some people walk out just totally. Because some people realize the Messiah's here. When he's here, everything is on the table because he does it all. It's just like when you're driving up to church. I mean, most of us drive to church because this is what we do. Was there any expectation? Did you go, man, I wonder what God's going to do today because God's here. He's here. Or either he's a liar, and if he's a liar, then none of it's true. The Messiah is here, and some of us, we didn't really want to sing or lift our hands. We don't want to even recognize his presence. We sit there and judge everything that's going on. What are they doing up here? Who's doing that? Did you see that? And we miss a happening because everywhere the Messiah went was a happening.